Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of NYPD Blue Balls. I'm here with Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Kirk.
And usually when I'm with Ben, we're going over a season or multiple seasons of NYPD Blue. But as Ben was watching through the episodes for the first time, he was coming up to five very important episodes of the show, and I felt it was important to separate it from the other parts of the show. And that's the first five episodes of Season 6, which, big spoiler alerts, if you do not know what's happening in the first five episodes of Season 6, do not keep listening. We're going to talk about what's happening. Anyway, from here on out, the first five episodes of Season 6 are the death of Detective Bobby Simone. The very slow death of Detective Bobby Simone. Which I was very excited to hear Ben's thoughts on, because he had never watched the show before. I don't know if I scared him at all by telling him my brother, Kyle, who usually does the show, said he might refuse to watch them and do the show because he remembers them being so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, just what are your overall thoughts on the feeling of the death of Bobby Simone? Because we literally watched the last episode, Season 5, together.
Just minutes ago.
Minutes ago, together in his place. How did it feel watching these five?
I'm a little speechless, but if I'm going to be honest, it kind of felt like the writers were a little hurt from the last guy leaving, and so they're like, you know what? We're going to kill you off majestically.
It definitely felt, because I was telling Ben, before we started, I've watched this, I think, like seven times now, maybe eight. Because I watched it a handful of times to prepare for the podcast originally. When you mentioned you started it, I was like, oh, I better catch up and we can watch it and then do the show. It does feel like the slowest burn of a character leaving a show that I think ever happened.
But I'm also glad that they didn't kill him off in like a hail of bullets.
Yeah.
And just bleeding out to death. They kind of like gave him more of a, not a humane or normal, but like a well-written death.
It was also a death where it was like a literal medical problem, which affects people all over the place. I mean, we're dealing with COVID still. Hey, wear a mask. Get vaccinated if you can, please. Where just all of a sudden, I mean, it's over five episodes, all of a sudden he's feeling bad. And you go to the hospital and you think you figured it out and it gets worse. Turns out to be something else.
Yeah. That's the thing. My wife is a nurse, and I've talked to her about that, and she said, yeah, that could happen. There can develop an infection like that. So,
yeah, as we were watching it, I remember we were talking about, because there's a big question coming up about tears, but I remember while watching the show, I was like, am I being affected by this because of recent, semi-recent history I've had with Papa Asher, going to hospitals, having heart trouble? And I only think it's partly that, because it really, the show's really trying to push on the buttons of how much this character's cared for and how much he cares about other people and how good he is at his job and what will be leaving the show and what kind of character is leaving the show. So I think it hits you in the feels regardless of what you're going through, because it really does feel like just a friend is going to the hospital and you don't know what's going on. So we could go through each episode as it is. I didn't really figure out a format. Usually I have like a list of questions about the stories that are going on with these episodes, but we're kind of just talking about one big story. Just of these five episodes, were there any other side cases that really stuck out to you while Simone was dying? Because we do have four separate actual cases that do happen while he's getting sick.
I think I would say the one that stood out would be the episode 4 case with Sipowicz, because you're dealing with the tension of, is Detective Simone going to die? And like what he needs to survive.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then you have that tension of Sipowicz like having an opportune scenario of like,
yeah,
this could happen, I can help save Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of going against all this ethics as a detective. So
they do, because that's episode specifically, that's Brother's Keeper, episode 4. That's one where a woman An older woman is found with her hands and feet chopped off and her head caved in. They tell one of the sons he seems to not be affected by it at all. They try to find the other son. It turns out he's a druggie and a drinker. And they play both of them off each other, and then one of them admits to doing it and covering, or admits to cutting her hands off to make it look like a murder so that, I don't know if it was for insurance or what the deal was, or if he was just angry, but his mother had committed suicide.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he got the call from his mom saying, like, hey, come at this time. And he explained it over and over. Like, she came in. Like, she told me she shot herself. I heard the gunshot. I didn't know what to do.
And then I reacted. I cut her hands and feet off. And he's also, this is also a guy that just straight punches Sipowicz in the...
One of the few people I've seen actually take a shot at him in the precincts.
And the cops, like, immediately swarm him and are like, what the hell are you doing? Are you going to really break bad with a cop? But the moment you're talking about, which is so dark, Sipowicz steps out of that room where he confesses. He goes to find out about Simone. It sounds like he needs a heart. It's gone from just an infection or a breathing problem to he needs a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back into the room and the guy is in the middle of hanging himself.
Where if you just walk in on that scene out of context, it looks completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember watching this episode for the first time for this show. And I remember when he walked in and I saw this, like, oh shit, that's right. He has a moment to let a dude kill himself. And for like 30 seconds, he almost lets him do it.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy.
And the first time I saw that, I was kind of in between things. I just see that scene. Sipowicz opens the door, sees him hanging, and just closes like, eh, whatever. I'm just like, so is he just letting him die because he's kind of a dick to his mom? And he's like, he deserves it. Like, whatever.
And he rolls back in with Medavoy and says, I could have helped him. And Medavoy's like, you are helping him. And he's like, no, I could have given Bobby this guy's heart.
And then at the end, everyone's like, I can't believe this guy walking away with a real, with a good heart.
And there was even a moment where Medavoy, they were talking about the younger brother, and they were like, whoever cut off her arms and feet, like, this psycho, whenever we find him, he's going to live like 100 years. He's going to have a perfect heart. And then Sipowicz gets upset with him because he brought up Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
But then they openly mention in the squad room, like you said, they openly mention, like, yeah, look at that guy just walking out of here healthy. When it's like, he doesn't deserve to die, like, in your precinct, because you...
It's more paperwork. Come on, let's be honest.
I'm going through the cases.
Mm-hmm.
We also had, because a lot of this, while Simone is slowly dying, you're watching Sipowicz deal with that. In, like, the most unhealthy ways possible.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure if it's episode 3 or 2 with a drunk cop.
Cop in a bottle. Yeah, that's 2.
The fact that he shot a guy, and it's like, trying to paint it as this heroic deed of saving this robbery, clipping the other guy, but then it comes out like, oh, he was inebriated.
Mm-hmm. He was inebriated, he was with a hooker.
Mm-hmm. And after taking her statement, she was saying, yeah, like, he did this, but he was also drunk out of his mind, and so they decided not to get her statement to protect his status.
And they were at all times, because this guy, I can't remember his name, and we could just hear me flipping through papers to find it, but the cop in question, obviously a drunk, obviously it's a problem. That cop's boss comes into Fancy and is basically like, so is he screwed up? And Fancy's like, I don't know if that's important. We're finding out if his shots were good, if he actually shot a perp, or if he accidentally shot the victim. And his boss was literally like, let's get a doctor in here to see if he's inebriated. Because he believes he is. He wants to get him fired. And the rest of the precinct is doing their best to keep this dude safe.
That's right.
Which is like, that's another one of those 2021... questioning moments where it's like, okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Cops look out for each other and they want to keep each other safe and keep their jobs intact. However, if you know this dude was that drunk and just throwing out shots after being with a prostitute, mm-hmm. are you really doing a good thing by keeping him safe?
Well, let me ask you this. Look at that precinct. Look what they had to go through with Sipowicz. So, the fact that that precinct was protecting him,
mm-hmm.
they've seen what has happened with Andy and how he's flipped his life afterwards.
Yeah.
So maybe they just saw that as a opportunity of, like, he's messed up, but he can easily change his life. It could happen.
And of course, you have Sipowicz, who, at the end of that episode, sits down with the guy, and mm-hmm. he goes, hey, the way we drink, the way we're drinkers, we're not going to survive on the job.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll think about that. And then because Sipowicz is dealing with Simone, he doesn't take a second or third chance with that guy. He just goes, you are or you're not. My partner's sick. And he gets up and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, he's already done enough by protecting this guy. But just watching Sipowicz come unglued with everybody. Like mm-hmm. Martinez brings it up that he's pissing him off.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling at Sylvia for like no reason. At all.
That's in all the episodes.
In every episode, he's angry at Sylvia for no reason. Well, it all speaks to Sipowicz's inability to deal with his feelings in a constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
But just how many... Because Sylvia becomes the real punching bag because he has to go home to her. And I think he sees her as a much more intelligent person than he is. So he refers to her. And even when she's like, hey, there's nothing, like, us worrying about it isn't going to change it. He's like, you told me not to worry. She's like, that's not what I told you. That's not what I told you. And just all the aggravation. Before we get into some of the other cases, because all of them have crazy moments, I wanted to talk for a moment about why I brought over a DVD to your house rather than watch it on Hulu, mm-hmm. which is the very controversial fact that
they cut it down.
Hulu has the syndication edits. They have the syndication edit of every episode. So any episode that is like an hour long or an hour special will be cut to the 42-odd minute thing. Because for syndication, it has to be the same amount so they can package it to other channels. But the death of Simone, Hearts and Souls, Season 6, Episode 5, is an hour and 6 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch it on Hulu, it's like 40-something. To tell you some of the things they cut out. If you watch the Hulu version, you would think Medavoy, Martinez, Kirkendall, and Fancy have no interest in what's going on with Bobby until the very end of the episode. They're not even in it.
Okay, so they even cut out the scene where they're waiting to see him walk down the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay.
They cut out basically everything that involves any character besides Simone, Sipowicz, and Russell.
Got it. Okay.
Until the very end where they say their goodbyes. So every little moment where you see how upset they are when they're dealing with their grief, not there. So when I watched it for the first time, I was like, that's what made me realize there has to be something wrong. Because mm-hmm. like when you get to that last scene and they're all paying their respects to Bobby, they're all talking to Bobby, you're like, I haven't seen anybody but these three people, what's happened? And then when you watch the full version, you see that
you miss the scene where Medavoy goes off
on that wolf dude
on the hotel manager or like the landlord
mm-hmm.
for getting hit in the face and then coming back saying he got hit in the same exact spot. I mean, what are the odds?
Because he told the dude that he filed a criminal charge against him for hitting him.
And then you actually see Medavoy like lash out on that. You mm-hmm. see that happen very little with him,
and he does it twice. He does it very slightly when he gets the first complaint,
mm-hmm.
because the guy's like, basically Medavoy laughs at something the guy says, and he's like, I don't find that funny. And then Medavoy straight goes, maybe I don't care about your problem. Maybe I just want to finish it up and go about the rest of my day. And then he does. And then the second time he goes off on him, it's like, well, what did you think would happen when you went to the guy and told him you complained about it? Doesn't make any sense.
Typical millennial right there.
When speaking about the final episode,
because
the big question was, did you cry? Which I was going to wonder. But then we watched it together.
And I did.
I had no problem mentioning. I watched it 3 times for the other podcast. We watched it now. I think I cried at different points every time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, the one I wanted to bring up, because you remember at the beginning of the episode, which makes it in the cut on Hulu, Sipowicz goes to say hi to him, sees him in the hallway, his face changes, and then he walks away.
And he says, it's not going to work out.
Like, he... later in the episode, he has a conversation with Sylvia, and he says, he's going to die, and Sylvia's like, you don't know that. And he's like, I saw it in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I broke when I watched it the second time is I realized Sipowicz was a guy that watched a lot of his friends die.
Mm.
He was in Vietnam. He's very upset and finds it very disrespectful when people talk about Vietnam and weren't there. So that moment when he's in that room crying in front of Sylvia, he's saying, no, I'm already in the process of grieving this. You guys do not understand.
Mm.
He is going to die. And it really hit me then that that scene in the beginning is so important because Sipowicz starts his grieving right then when he sees Simone in the beginning.
Whereas everyone, they keep getting news, it's like, they're doing this, they're going to do that. And he's like, no, no matter what, he's going to die.
And, I remember watching it the second time, and when I realized that and it all clicked in my head, I was like, this is the saddest thing. Because Sipowicz doesn't, I mean, you count on your, like, one hand how many times he really breaks down, crying. Andy Jr., this, where he's just in the, in the precinct, and he's just crying by himself while with Sylvia.
And then after he got beaten up, and he says, I need help.
I need help. So it's to get him there and to see, like, he's already at the point where he's already about halfway through the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the end of the episode and everyone's saying goodbye and he kind of leans over and says, I'll take care of her. And I assume he means Russell. But when he does that, it's him going, like, I know what's happening. I've accepted it. You can go. I mean, you don't need my permission, but I understand what's happening, and we have to move on. And because at the end, he does seem a little more reserved than everybody else. Like, everybody else has, like, little breaking points.
Even going into, like, his case that he had throughout the episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see that, like, he's going to go to do a 12-step program, because usually, in these cases, like, after Andy Jr., you see him go to the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Where now, like you said, in the beginning, he's accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to his ex-wife, and he says, no, I'm going to do this with you. I think maybe that's him trying to say, like, I know what's happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I could do, so I'm going to get ahead of it before.
There's also a moment where, when he's talking to Katie, his ex-wife, and he says, we need to go to meetings. It's also a requirement of her parole.
Yeah.
because she got a DWI.
Which Sipowicz's wife was able to just get her that instead of getting a DWI.
We had a long conversation on the pod about how kind of ridiculous it is that, I think it was in New Jersey where she gets this DWI.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, did you tell him that I'm on the job? Your ex-husband. So not even your husband. Your ex-husband. And she goes, that didn't do anything. And he's like, well, did you mention Andy Jr.? Which at this point, season 6, episode 5, Andy Jr. died in season 3?
Yeah.
So even if he would just, like, at least over 2 years ago? So to say, like, hey, my son died on the job 2 years ago, that's why I'm drinking tonight?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like...
And we don't know if it's, like, the anniversary of his death.
That could be. But the idea that he's like, well, did you tell him all these excuses? And he still gave you a ticket for definitely being drunk while driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you mentioned it, he just calls him up and says, hey, it's my ex-wife. So are we cool?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy.
Where if I was the DA, I'd be like, oh, she's your ex-wife? You drunk ass cop. We have records of you from years prior.
Didn't you? Hold on. Sipowicz?
Pretty sure. Familiar.
Pretty sure we'd remember you. But yeah, when they have that discussion, she's like, I'll go to the 12-step thing for you. And he's like, it's not for me. it's for you, obviously. I'll go with you because I should be going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he realizes it doesn't even matter, I just need to get her there. It's, yeah. And I did a little extra homework because we had a couple days until we watched it where I watched The Death of Andy Jr. again. That one doesn't make me cry, but it makes me tear a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the moment where, because if you remember it, Simone goes to get a statement from the doctor. He lifts the sheet. He looks at him. He looks at the doctor. He turns around to look at Sipowicz, and he goes, this is Andy Jr.'s stuff. And then turns around to look at Simone. He's like, is it Andy Jr.? And then Simone just doesn't say anything. And then he looks in and sees his son, and you're like, that's horrible, horrific. But just remembering how Andy reacted to that.
Yeah.
And then watching this, it's like, yeah, it's a good thing his wife... If his wife did get a DWI and talk to him this day, he would be in a world of hurt by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
he would be in a bad, bad, bad place. So, yeah, you cried. You cried at the last scene.
I did.
Which is hard.
Yes.
Which is pretty hard. And it's very long from the moment the priest starts to when they have the white screen. It's you're watching a dude slowly die.
Mm-hmm.
And either in... Because this is another thing I wanted to ask. Because he's talking to Patsy. Which he has been over the last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And you assume it's in, like, dreams. That he's talking to Patsy. Then when you get to the end of this, the episode, or the end of the 5 episodes, it's kind of like, is this a...
It's a metaphor for God.
Is it a metaphor for God? I mean, and if you're a completely atheistic person, or is it just the hallucinations people see, that they say people see when they get flooded with all this stuff in their brain? But he has a full conversation about his entire life to Patsy.
Yeah.
While he's slowly gone. Yeah. And it's hard to be like, what about that made you cry? But there had to be, I feel like there has to be some specifics about the scene that brought it out of you.
Yeah.
He's like, we'll get there. Let's pull it up.
So you want me to tell you at the moment where I started crying?
Yes.
So.
I have a guess, but yes.
Okay. What's your guess?
The sun.
That is a scene.
Yeah.
That is a scene. I mean, knowing that they had an unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were pregnant and then it ultimately got terminated is very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that fear.
Mm.
I currently have that fear.
Apologies. That I brought it up. I mean, I brought over the movie that we watched.
I mean, I'm scared for my child right now.
Is she pregnant?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
This is how you're telling me on the show? Well, congratulations. Hi, congratulations. Hold on.
This is a weird thing I'm going to have to edit, by the way.
So, because obviously you're nowhere near, just by basic math, and I have no idea, you're nowhere near knowing the sex of the child.
In a couple weeks, we'll find out.
Okay, so, and I know it doesn't matter whether it's a boy or a girl, that's stupid, but the fact that usually there's this, not to get too liberal arts about it, there's usually like this weird thing about dudes where it's like, oh, it's a boy, gets said more than it's a girl.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the fact that when Simone's like, well, what about my boy? And then it turns out it is a boy, and mm-hmm. he holds his boy's hand, and it turns out to be Sipowicz. Well, now I have to ask, obviously, do you want a boy? Because you're a misogynist piece of shit.
I play the fifth.
We found out. Wow, congrats, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
So, it's also weird that you like you opened up with, oh, we're going to get a dog. And I'm like, oh, cool, dogs.
I mean, we are.
And another human. Like, that's a whole other set of circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to prove a whole lot more stuff with a human. Well, now... Because I remember, I mean, to bring it back to this very unimportant thing we're doing now. I remember when we started doing this, and you mentioned not to make you cry again, you mentioned how watching this made you so worried about having a kid. I remember when you brought it up, because there's so many, like, the show isn't, I mean, it has to bring up a new story every week, mm-hmm. obviously, kids in trouble, gonna be high ratings.
Yeah.
Just talk to SVU. But, obviously that's increased now. I mean, now one's on the way.
Yeah. I would say, just like looking forward, I am still nervous, but I don't live in New York, so.
That's where all the real bad stuff happens.
Just even in the big cities. Yeah. Not to say nothing bad can happen in like suburbia, mm-hmm. but.
Now I don't even know what to talk about. You've really derailed this thing.
I just broke Kirk.
It also, I mean, even though I have no dog in this race, it also makes me feel a little bit cheated that the only reason you cried was personal experience that happened recently.
Well, personal experience is if we lost our child. God willing, baby will still be fine.
It's also, I would imagine, because, yeah, the kid thing got me, for sure. The other thing that got me was watching someone expire, pass away, what have you. The idea of whether he's talking to a creator, whether he's coming to terms with his own death, whatever it is. The idea of him going through his entire life while also
having a conversation.
Having a conversation with people he's looking at, maybe, mm-hmm. that are with him, as well as having conversations with people that never existed. Like, or people that existed at one time. His wife, who passed away. If you know the story of Simone, his wife died of cancer. Cancer, I think.
Yeah.
So, just watching that going like, oh my gosh, if in the final moments, do you get like this greatest hits thing? Do you get a cosmic mentor? Am I going to see grandparents I never had a chance to talk to? Am I going to, like, in my own mind, like, am I going to, all those crazy things? And then also the processing of, this guy's gone. He is going to go. Yeah, that would, I'm also now processing watching that scene as someone who has no children and is not even close to having children. That is a pretty harsh reality of, wow, if you had a miscarriage and then as you're going, he's like, do you want to talk to your son? That's pretty.
And even having Diane say, like, yeah, you'll be up there with our kid.
With your wife.
Yeah.
Which, that was one thing, not to bring down this love fest, but that was one thing I talked to Kyle about that is kind of awkward. He's a character where he had a wife. She passed away. He obviously grieved. He went back to work, met a new woman. They got together, fell in love. There's nothing wrong with that.
Before he fell in love with that one woman, he had a couple women.
Here and there.
One of them that said goodbye.
Yeah, here and there. But one of them, the fact that he had an ex-wife, he has this cosmic moment, but we don't get to see her. You would think they'd hire like some actress and just be like, guess what? You're Bobby Simone's wife. You're going to have this moment. But they don't even do that. They're just like, yeah, and here's your parents and your wife from one time, and then it's gone.
I think it's just mainly because we only hear about it like, oh, yeah, this happened. Mm. It doesn't keep on being brought up, because when he was brought on, yeah, she passed away. Mm-hmm. But the way they kind of wrote him was like, yeah, he's the bachelor. Everybody wants to get on him.
Yeah, that's true.
And then to, like, bring this other woman that's, hey, I'm your wife. You're going to lose the audience. Whereas the miscarried baby plays such a bigger role.
Yeah, it's throughout harsh. The seasons. It's also with her alcoholism and her own trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it also would kind of take away from how hard it is on Diane, I guess, if you did that. Mm-hmm. Because let me ask about that. Kyle and I had real issues, and I think it's because neither of us are married. And I don't want to say we're smarter than the average bear, but maybe just because Diane didn't understand what the doctors were saying. But we were getting really frustrated with Diane. Just with her disagreeing with the doctors, not understanding what the doctors were saying. Because I don't know if you even picked up on it, but while watching it, she was asking questions where it's like, clearly you don't know what they're talking about. I know that we're trying to get through this together, but you're making it harder for the doctors to just do their job. Did that happen to you at all? Because it was happening with me and Kyle a lot when we were watching it.
My only thing was, in the first episode, when it first or second episode, when he gets into the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That's the second, yeah.
Yeah, in the second episode. Everyone kept on asking, oh, was it a heart attack? Even Bobby was it a heart attack? Doc, was it a heart attack? And it's like, no, 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 it's just this. So it's a heart, it wasn't a heart attack. Everyone just kept on, heart attack, heart attack.
Yeah.
And I think that's just mainly because that's what we hear.
Yeah, that's the big one.
No one ever says, like, oh, like, I'm having a failing heart.
Is it heart disease? Is it something else? Yeah.
It's an infection. It's just heart attack.
Because, yeah, I picked up on that one, too, where the first five questions anybody asks of that doctor when he first gets there...
Was it a heart attack? And even in the precincts.
And it's... And maybe it's just from a little bit of experience in the hospital dealing with heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the questions I would ask and my dad would ask would be more like, what should we expect from something like this? Is this caused by heart problems? Is this caused by something else? But we never asked the same question five times. It was like,
right.
Is it a heart... Like, if we asked, is it a heart attack? Or when we ask the question, is it a heart attack? And they go, we don't know yet. Don't ask it again 4 seconds later.
So after the blood test, it was a heart attack, right?
Yeah, like, it's so frustrating to deal with.
And I think also, yeah, since we know that, and people who have heart attacks do bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was that was their hope. Okay, yeah, this is the worst, but he's going to be okay.
Yeah. It's also when the unknown is way more scary,
mm-hmm,
than what you know. So when you hear heart attack, you're like, oh, my uncle had a heart attack. Oh, this guy had two, and he just had to eat better, he had to exercise. But when a doctor tells you, and I know firsthand, when a doctor tells you, I don't know what's happening, it's way more terrifying because, mm-hmm, then you're like, so you mean the world of medicine doesn't understand what's happening?
Yeah. And I get that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. There was one time where I was sick. I don't even know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I had 103-degree fever.
Mm-hmm.
I went to urgent care. They took my temperature, like, yeah, we're going to, like, get you going with the doctor. I did blood work. I did scans. I got an x-ray. Everything. They're like, we don't know what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much at the end of the day, they're like, well, here's some ibuprofen to control the fever. Good luck.
We hope it's not something serious.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the summer, but I was shaking. I was freezing cold.
I had something similar to that. It turned out to be food poisoning. But I had a situation where I was in the desert. I was in Vegas for something. It's like 110 degrees outside. And I had a fever, and I was standing outside because it felt good to be in 110 degree heat.
And that's the weird thing.
And everyone was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm obviously not okay, but...
If this is normal.
But...
we need to check on the people in Arizona.
But I was like, I don't want to go inside because the air conditioning, like, hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But outside feels amazing. So yeah, it was... That was a pretty... And then when I got to the bathroom, I was like, oh, something we ate.
Yeah.
Something we ate did this.
And that's kind of what I was expecting, too, after they did the blood work. But they, mm-hmm, said, we have no, like... There's no white blood count. There's no, like, poisoning or anything like that. Everything's clear on your blood work. So I was like, what is this then?
Where are we? And, like, with the show, because I think another thing that the death of Bobby Simone does, which I think kind of brings some comfort to it, is we have two doctors that we deal with a lot. One's Carreras.
Mm-hmm.
The other's Swan. And Carreras is a very attentive, breaks everything down, very patient with Russell.
And I think it deals with his level, because in the episode he says, like, I'm a peon compared to Dr. Swan.
Yeah.
And I think because he's at that level, he wants to get that interaction. He can't afford that. Whereas Dr. Swan, he's probably overseeing the entire floor.
Yeah, he's just gotta...
Crank him out.
Without trying to offend doctors, it's turned into... like fast food work for him. It's, mm-hmm, like, that's a number seven, this is another five, we need to do this, we need to do that, just get it done. And what happens. I can't control it.
And I've gotten used to seeing that on Scrubs.
Yeah, because you're a big Scrub
fan. I'm a big Scrubs fan.
You're
I'm making my wife watch it with me right now. This is my maybe sixth time, my wife's first time.
It's important. And soon you're going to have to make a child watch it when they're of age.
Of age is the key word.
I know. I'm not going to ever let my child watch NYPD Blue until they are 18. Because even for the 90s, that's not 16 material.
It's like, Daddy, I don't know why, but I like Sipowicz's ass when it's on screen.
What's up with all this side boob? But, or Daddy, what is insert racial slur that you forgot is in an episode? You're like, oh yeah! But it does this thing where it shows kind of... I almost thought for half a second, I was like, is this show trying to do a medical drama spinoff with Swan? And, like, because they feature prominently. They're doing a pretty good job. But the end of it was like, Carreras goes, we've done all we can. Especially when he talks to Bobby. That's another scene that got me, I think, the third time. When he's talking to Bobby and kind of assessing him for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of goes, okay, I think you're hallucinating. I think it's very hard for you to talk to me. It's like, judging by what's going on, I don't see a way out of this. And then he just says right to him, like, I have a signal when it's time to stop fighting. Carreras has the idea of, like, a person dying peacefully is better than putting him through hell just to possibly have him survive, which you won't.
Yeah.
And Swan... not to say he's a bad person. I think this show does a bad job of making him look like a real villain. When, I think from his perspective, it's like, look, there's a 1 in a million chance Bobby gets out of this. Mm-hmm. That includes this surgery. Kind of.
And my thinking, too, is, if we can just squeeze every last penny out of him...
Yeah, that's another...
Every medical procedure, maybe we can keep him alive. And that's to say, maybe it's because I'm a little jaded with the U.S. medical system altogether.
Just a wee bit.
Just hearing about, like, everything that's going on with like, insurances and Big Pharma and all that. But I'm not here to talk about conspiracy.
or just fact that we live with every day. But no, there is a... Because we were joking during the episode. Some of it was me just coping with what I'm watching, because it's pretty dark and pretty sad. But one thing that's always a funny part of, like, real hard-hitting medical dramas is when, like, Carreras is talking to Russell, where he's basically telling Russell, like, he's gonna die. But he's doing it as consoling and as on her level.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very end of that, I kind of want him to just be like, so let's talk about your bill. So, the insurance that cops have is not too great. So, just like, the fact that you're like, oh yeah, he's been in the hospital for 4 weeks. If these episodes are week after week, he's done several procedures.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff's been happening to him. They've used a lot of equipment on him. And the idea, like, oh, after this is over, she's going to be handed a bill of some kind. And you're like, that's insane.
We'll give it a month before we mail out the bill.
We'll let her... Or, you know, or the taxpayers will just pay for it. Who knows?
Just like in It's Always Sunny. You don't pay for hospital bills. That's not a thing.
Who pays for the hospital?
The taxpayers. We pay with our tax.
Yeah, for a moment... Because I think I mentioned it before. For a moment, it did feel like, are we just starting a separate medical drama with these guys? Because they're spending a lot of time. Also, there's like this weird undercurrent where he's like, I think you're just trying to pass off a death on the neurostatistics. And you're like, are we going to follow you guys now? what are we doing here? Oh, man.
This is where Chicago got their idea for Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire, PD. Chicago PD, Chicago Med, or whatever it is.
Yeah. All of the conspiracy goes back to NYPD Blue.
Thank you for listening to part one of Binging with Ben, the first 5 episodes of season 6. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, it is currently on Hulu, but if you listen to the episode, you know that they have the syndication edits, so make sure to look out for their extended episodes. Also, you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is Asher Bros Pod. Instagram is Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly just announcing when new episodes are coming out. The second part of this, Binging with Ben Part 2 for the first 5 episodes of Season 6, will be up 2 Tuesdays from now, like our normal schedule.
If you need more reading in your life about NYPD Blue, there is True Blue about the first couple seasons. There is What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. And then there's Gene Kendall, an unofficial guide to NYPD Blue. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review the show on wherever you're listening to it to hopefully get seen in the algorithm and more people watch the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you like public domain movies and video games, you can check me out on twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses or any social media at KirkHasGlasses. Peace.